Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Wednesday, February the 21st, 2024. We are in the first week of Lent, so we are doing readings through the church calendar that coincide with this week. And so today, our readings are going to be in Genesis 37, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and Mark chapter 1. How's everybody doing today? Middle of the week. Heading towards the weekend. Reminder, I will not be on tomorrow, so this will be our last podcast of the week. And we'll be back at it on Monday. So, have a wedding for, I'm performing for someone, so I have to travel over there, a little bit further away. But good to be with you today. Glad we can spend some time in the Word of God. So let's do it, y'all. Let's jump into Genesis chapter 37 and see what the Lord has to say to us today. You know what we do? We read, we pray, change the world. So let's continue on with the story of Joseph. That's where we left off in Genesis 37. So we pick up at verse 25. 37 verse 25. As they sat down to eat their meal, so remember, Joseph has been thrown into a cistern. Verse 25. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a, like, they are over it already, right? They're just sitting down, they're eating. They've just thrown their brother into a cistern, and like, they're just, now, let's just go have lunch. But as they're having their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of some Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So they say, well, instead of killing him, let's try to make some money. Let's sell him. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern. Which there's just so much there, right? Joseph's like, "Oh, thanks, you guys changed your mind. You came back, you recanted, you decided, to save me, but no, we actually just we're just getting you out because we can make some money on you now." They sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. Remember, Reuben was the one who, that was his idea. Like, let's not kill him, let's just throw him in the cistern. And so his idea was that then he was going to come back and rescue him and, you know, let him go. Well, when he comes back to the cistern, the other brothers have taken matters into their own hands. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't here. Where can I turn?" Well, I missed the verse here. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. So to make it look like he was eaten by wild animals. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes. A lot of clothes being torn up in this chapter, man. Reuben be tearing his clothes. They tore Joseph's clothes. Now Jacob's just tearing his clothes. Whew, some seamstress is getting a lot of work. We're getting a lot of business right now. Some ferocious animal devoured him, so Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Verse 34. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Joseph loved, Jacob loved Joseph, remember, a lot. So he's grieving. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Meanwhile, God's up to something. So, you know, meanwhile, all seems lost. But meanwhile, God is up to something. Because God has his hand on Joseph, really does. So he's just moving chess pieces around, right? Putting the parts in place. could not think about the season of Lent with, you know, Jacob's putting on sackcloth and ashes, you know, the sign of, you know, a public sign of mourning, which likewise, Ash Wednesday in the season of Lent, there is a season, somewhat of mourning, but like it's definitely repentance and self-reflection. And so it's a public entering into that. As we think about Jesus and this, those time leading up to Easter. So yesterday at church, we had our Easter planning session. So, you know, we're talking about all the things coming up for Easter and planning and getting all the logistic matters assigned and taken care of. So everything from our Good Friday service to community outreach extravaganza, which we'll be doing in the city of Oldsmar again this year, to the sunrise service in Oldsmar, to the two services on Easter Sunday at Bayside. So just, you know, it's that time you start thinking about making preparations, planning for all of that, because such a tremendous opportunity. So many people search, so many people just are curious. So there's just a lot of opportunity to really make an impact in people's lives, you know. So you just want to do the best you can do, right? And you know, we're making a big emphasis on inviting, you know, mobilizing the 99 to reach the one. As revealed in Luke chapter 15, right? Mobilizing the people of God to reach those who are far from God. Yeah. So it's an important time when people come to know Jesus, right? they come to know the Lord. So awesome. Yeah. Remember the bracelet, right? Reminds us to be on mission. All right, let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are on. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Amen. That's what our faith rests on, man. It doesn't rest on human wisdom. It rests on the very power of God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the center point of our faith, man, right? It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That His work on the cross saves us from our sin. That's it. He was Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and His crucifixion is our salvation. Verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So we do speak wisdom. We speak a lot of spiritual wisdom and to the mature, but it's not a wisdom that is like the wisdom of the world, because that wisdom is going to come to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Wow. Destined for our glory before time began. That's underlinable right there, y'all. That's what we declare. We declare the wisdom of God that's been hidden, and God is destined for our glory before the time began. That's that theme in the scripture that over and over, the hidden mystery of God, which is what? The hidden mystery of God that has been now been disclosed is this, that through Jesus Christ crucified, all the people of the world can be united to God through Him, both Jews and Gentiles. That's the mystery hidden until Jesus came. Was that was the mystery. That was the hidden mystery. That how's God going to save the world? How's God going to redeem both Jews and Gentiles? And the mystery that has been hidden from the foundation of the world, but has now been revealed, is this, that in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles can be saved. It was destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. That's that verse is one of the most misquoted verses in the entire Bible, because we often say, and in the way that it's often used, it makes sense, but it's actually a misquote of the context of the verse. You know, often we'll see in the reference to heaven, man, God has so many good things prepared for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God is going to do. But that's not how the verse ends. It says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. But if you go down to verse 10, what does it say? These things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. So it's not hidden. it has been revealed. It's really supposed to be a prompt of worship. Can you believe the thing that was previously unimaginable, the things that we couldn't see and couldn't hear, how miraculous it is now that God has revealed that to us by his Spirit, that he has shown us that through Jesus. It's not it's no longer hidden. It actually has been disclosed. Praise God. That's the context of it. It's not a we can't even imagine. Well, we couldn't as a human race at one point, but now, praise God, we can see it because it's Jesus, him crucified. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. That's a great verse. One to kind of consider. The Spirit searches the deep, searches all things, even the deep things of God. Verse 11 kind of tells you how deep the Spirit goes right here. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Wow. That's powerful, right? Like just like no one knows you better than you, like your spirit, you know, no one, there are parts about you that no one else knows because of your spirit, right? Your spirit knows what no one else knows. And he's saying in like manner, the Spirit of God knows God like nothing else. And so the Spirit of God discloses the deep things of God. Wow. That's powerful. We have what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spirit taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person who this person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All of that is saying we who have the Spirit of God in us can discern and understand when the Holy Spirit is speaking. The Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us that has been given to us through salvation in Jesus, enables us to listen to the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. People who do not have the Spirit of God in them don't understand the things of the Spirit. It seems like foolishness to them. And some of us were there, right? Before you were saved, you heard the same messages and it made no sense to you. Like it just didn't click. Like you didn't get it. The message of Jesus, the message of the cross, the message of salvation, all this stuff about God and Jesus and the Bible just didn't make sense. But then something changed. The Spirit of God inhabited your life, and now you hear differently. They're spiritually discerned. You can understand, you discern spiritual words, because what? The Spirit of God reveals the deep things of God, because no one knows God like the Spirit of God does. It's powerful. It's powerful. Yeah, me too, man. So he says, who has known the mind? This is a glory. This is just like that previous verse was like, no one has seen, but they've been revealed to us by the Spirit. Should be a prompt for praise. This idea, this right here should be a prompt for praise too. It's like, who has known the mind of the Lord? We have the mind of Christ. It should, wow, right? Now, obviously, we're still learning. We're still growing. We can't it's impossible for the human brain to fully comprehend the immense mind of God. But we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of God that is teaching us bit by bit, grace upon grace, what God is like. We have the mind of Christ. That's what Paul said in Philippians 2, right? Have this mind in you that was also in Christ. And we do through the Spirit of God who dwells in us. And it's awesome. All right, let's jump over to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 45. Welcome, everybody. So glad you guys are here. 29 through 45. Mark 1, 29 through 45. So 29 through the end of the chapter. All right. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So Simon Peter has a mother-in-law, which means he was married. And so he went, took her by the hand and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on him. Wow. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Just a neat, insightful observation into the rhythm of Jesus's life, right? I mean, the evening, he's around large masses of people who are coming to be healed and delivered, and he's ministering. And then very early in the morning, the next morning, while it was still dark, what does he do? He goes away by himself to pray. Just this rhythm of public ministry, engagement with people, serving and helping others, ministering, but then retreating to be with the Father. And just an important, which is kind of what we do, right? When we spend time with the Lord in the morning, just before the day begins, or whenever you're listening to the podcast, spending those few moments with the Lord. It's just rhythm of outward ministry, outward engagement, going after the one, right? Trying to be a witness, trying to reach those who are far from God, trying to do all the other things that we have to do in a day, but also taking those precious moments to hear from the heart of the Father. Verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus was like, "Yeah, that's why I left." That's why I left. Verse 38, "Let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Good morning, Dan. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So see, then from that time of prayer, back into public ministry. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. Why do you think he was indignant? Because that's an interesting and abrupt sort of response, right? Like, a man with leprosy came to seek and beg him on his knees, "If you are willing, can you make me clean? If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus was indignant. Do you think he was indignant because the man wondered whether he was willing or not? Why do you think he was indignant? It's worth that I can think, considering. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Interesting. But go show yourself to the priest and offer sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. In some ways, it probably is like for his own good. Like, you know, go through the proper channels, do the right things. But of course, he didn't do that. Watch this, verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Wow. It's something about the attraction of Jesus, right? Like he could no longer go into the town openly because, you know, there was word of him everywhere. So he stayed out in lonely places. It's like desolate places. But look, yet people still came to him from everywhere. And you know what, friends? People are still coming to him from everywhere. People are still coming to him from everywhere. From every tribe and nation and tongue and people from all over the world, people are still coming to him. People in your community, people in your family, people that are that seem so far from God, they're still coming to him. Because he meets them in their lonely places, right? He meets them right where they are, just like he met us where we are. Just like Paul talked about. He meets us when we have not the Spirit of God. He meets us, he saves us, and he gives us the Spirit of God. And what we formerly did not understand or didn't get, now a whole new world has opened up to us as the Spirit of God in us reveals to us the deep things of God. It's awesome. All right, you guys, thanks for being on. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for my friends who've joined today in these readings. Pray that your word would just touch our hearts and that would not only be words that we hear, but it would be words that we apply to our lives. But Lord, we know that your word is living and powerful. So whether we're just passing by and we hear the word of God or whether we understand it, we know that it always accomplishes that for which it was sent. And so, Lord, even for those who may not know you, who may just be listening in today on this podcast, God, we know that your word is effective. We pray that you might let them know of your love and your grace and your power, that your spirit might convict and call them to yourself. Lord, help us as we go today to have our eyes open, to see those who are far from you, to see those who need help, to see those who need encouragement, to see those who are in lonely places. And let them know that they are not alone, but that you see them, you love them, and you are for them. We pray all this in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you guys so much for being on today. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast on YouTube. That way you know every time we drop a new episode. We'll be back at it on Monday. Thank you for liking, sharing the podcast. Really appreciate that. You guys are awesome. You guys have a fantastic day. If I don't see you this weekend, see you back on Monday morning. Love you guys. You're the best. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.